Hello everyone and welcome. My name is Terry and I thank you for taking the time and interest in our conversation and the information that will be shared. Our conversations are offered through my website, vibrationsofthesoul.com, as a resource for personal learning, healing, and a goal to better understand spiritual awakening and the planetary ascension cycle that is currently underway. Clearly, we're in times of great change impacting our relationship we have with ourselves, with others, and our planet. The issue is many people do not have a context for what is occurring as this frequency shift is affecting everything. These can be challenging times resulting in confusion, sadness, feelings of disconnection, and loneliness. So in opening our field of intention here today, we command this space as sovereign and free, within the living light, the law of one, through our crystal star guardian teams and Aurora hosts, in which we are learning to take complete ownership of our personal energies through unity consciousness, compassionate witnessing, loving self and others, loving the earth and nature, responsible co-creation, and consciousness expansion. Well, with that being said, we're going to do something a little bit different today. Caitlin is going to be interviewing me. I had the privilege of interviewing Caitlin, I think the end of last year, October, and then again in February. There's part one and part two that's on my website if you're interested in listening. So I'm really excited to be interviewed by Caitlin here today. So with that being said, Caitlin.
Thank you so much, Terry. I'm really excited to be the one interviewing you today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you know, people like yourself who are always hosting or assisting others very rarely share their journey and what led them to be in service in the first place. Now, by service, I mean service to others' consciousness. It's a part of our consciousness if we so choose to participate with it. I just love to give like a deeper definition of this though, of words that I deeply resonate with. And this comes from Ascension Glossary. And this is defining service when I share this with you of what I feel you've been such an example of.
Oh, thank you.
It says, upon firmly loving yourself and honoring your path, find methods to be of service to others that do not overstep personal boundaries of discernment. Being of service to others does not include consumptive modeling such as victim-victimizer, parasitism, or emotional vampirism. Being of service does not hold an ego perspective of entitlement, expectation, or attachment. Practice being of service with unconditional love and naturally flowing in the moment. The energy exchange made between participants being of service to others amplifies and expands consciousness growth like no other method. The more you amplify the energetic field of being in service to others, the more joy, harmony, and gifts will be brought into your life. The more service you dedicate to God's plan, the law of one, the law of love, the more spiritual support and spiritual presence one can exchange with God force. So, with that said, I just jotted a few things down knowing that we would be doing this today of just getting to know you working with you over the last few years and getting to know you and just seeing the example that you are and how you live. You are truly one of a kind person, at times deeply misunderstood. With you, I continually witness your acts of service no matter what is going on in your life. The ups, the downs, the ebbs, the flows. You never waver from being kind with an open heart. And you're always willing to talk to bring clarity to any situation. And I mean any situation. I see you working with children, UFO experiencers, animals, psychotherapists, medical doctors, and everyone else in between. Coming to you, and it's always about them, of course, as that is the nature of your work. And so rarely is there a genuine understanding of all the personal work, dedication, and experiences of hard-earned grit you walk through and continue to walk through. To be able to hold a loving and safe space for others is something that you have really been an example of that I have never seen out there before. And of course, meeting you, have you shown me and introduced me to other people that do the same.
Oh, thank you, Caitlin. So, yeah.
I know people see you today, right? They see you kind of like polished in that regard and also feel, sense your energy. It's loving, it's kind, it's joyful, open, and you hold this unwavering faith in God's source. And this might confuse people as they have not seen the road you traveled, which contributed to who you are today.
Yes.
Yeah. So I do have a, you know, I've jotted down a list of questions that I would love to ask of you today, but just starting out and speaking about the road traveled, let's just start with you sharing about yourself.
Yes. Well, thank you for all of that, Caitlin. And I would say everything that you shared, it's right back at you, because walking with you and watching you grow and change too has truly just been beautiful and amazing. So speaking, gosh, about myself, yeah. There's a whole lot to say, but I guess my entire life, really, I've been really deeply committed to knowing the truth of who I am. Since a child, I have always felt a stranger in a really bizarro land. And by that, I mean my real self, you know, my spirit. I was not from here. I intrinsically knew that very, very young. I really had difficulty relating to the behaviors and strange belief systems that I witnessed operating in others. And I was also highly empathic. Wow. And feeling what was in the hearts and the minds of everybody around me. So it really made my life challenging. I felt everything. Mm-hmm. And words and actions of others really did not match. So I was confused by what I was experiencing. But I really learned in my younger years how to navigate through the inner turmoil being here on planet Earth and the pain that I felt through self-isolation. Because it was really by retreating that I was able to cope and regain balance. As like I said, I was always overstimulated just by being in the world, and combining that with nighttime visits from the spirit world, people who've passed over, UFO sightings, strange paranormal experiences. I was just always overwhelmed and overstimulated by being here. Mm-hmm. It was like my nervous system was constantly going, you know, constantly on overload. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it really was the isolation that at times was really challenging, because I had really some struggles around that, because I functioned differently than others. And I was always aware of that. The way I learned, the way I thought, how I looked at the world. And then isolation became a purposeful tool at some mm-hmm. point along the way. But I did suffer some wounding around that, because mm-hmm. I knew I was different. Thank goodness I had a nice mother who cared and looked after me and allowed me to be the unusual being that I was mm-hmm. and provided me a level of protection and safety, you know, to allow me to express certain things like this to her. And I really felt grateful for that, because she gave me a sense of inner security when I was really exploring the world of forces way back then, the multidimensional nature of my consciousness, and I didn't understand it like I do today.
Right, right. Yeah, I've heard you often refer to your mother and just how incredible she was, and that
she was really a blessing. Yeah. And you know, I talked to so many people who don't have great relationships with their mom, and mm-hmm. It's always surprising to me mm-hmm. because I feel very blessed. And she has since passed on, but mm-hmm. she comes around from time to time. So
<That's> beautiful,
it's good.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
And now, what about your father? Where is he in all this?
So, yes, I really didn't know my dad. Mm-hmm. Only saw maybe a handful of times that I can even remember. But when I say I came in with a different, like, instruction set, different learning, I just always knew, even young, he just always did the best he could in the moment. It was just what it was. And I didn't really have, I don't have trauma because you were five and your father said this or is not in your life anymore. I just didn't register that way.
That structure, this architecture,
it was not even there. No.
Yeah. Like some of us come in with so much of that structure put in place. So when it does dismantle,
it's like painful. My own
story. Yeah. So it's incredible to witness someone else who had a different experience.
Yeah.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a brother who his name is Foxy. And his nickname. I do. And he's wonderful. And he has quite a story, too, of his journey. And I hope to interview him, actually, at some point so everybody can hear his story as well.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And now as we move along, what else can you share about yourself?
Well, right from the get-go, with a different learning and instruction set, a different blueprint, if you will, the way that I operate it, I really had limited interest in participating with conventional roles and the structures or systems operating on this planet. I had very little desire to build the structured career, marry, have children. I was an enigma, really. I think it's kind of strange, but it was from a place of just deep knowing, right? I just always knew that that was not what I was going to do this time.
Right, in order to be your true authentic self.
Yes, yeah. I needed to just kind of have that freedom this lifetime, this cycle to complete what I'm here to complete and to support others, you know, as they come into my life. But yeah, so marriage and children, I've never done that. Mm-hmm. And I've always been very creative, very entrepreneurial. I really mostly preferred to work for myself, and mostly my whole life I did. But it really served me well because freedom truly was a huge component to my being happy and my being productive in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And you know, I remember when I was 18 years old, I had a reading with a psychic out of California. I think I was in Pennsylvania, at that time. And I was told to never drink, never do drugs, don't take any vaccine, or don't talk about my age. Because if I indulged in any way, it would set to destroy me. It would take me off my path. And I can still remember having that message being delivered to me. I can remember the chills and the feelings I had move throughout my body. You know, it was just a very strong knowing at that time, not to veer from the path. That's the best way I can say it.
Mm-hmm.
And that lifestyle, I still hold to that lifestyle all these years later. So I'm really grateful. Again, I call it like a God thing, a divine thing. Mm-hmm. I was given an instruction and I took it to heart. And it has really,
it's been fundamental.
Yeah. Fundamental in my life, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So were you visiting California at that time when you met the psychic?
No.
Or?
I was in Pennsylvania, and I don't even remember how that all got set up, but somebody who knew somebody connected me to him.
Got it. And the psychic was in California?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And so over the years, I mean, I've done so many things. I worked with nutrition and meditation, light therapy. I did a lot of bioresonance, energetic testing. I work still today with regression and hypnosis and sound therapy. I do a lot of multidimensional energetic healing or etheric surgery. And I'm always learning because the focus is always toward assisting others upon their journeys. And I learn so, so much from talking with others. So I'm very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very grateful. And, you know, even though I work with others, I'd like to say that I always see my role with clients interchangeable, meaning at times I'm the teacher and they're the student, and then at times they're the teacher and I'm the student, right? So I'm always learning, and it is really a privilege, honestly. Yeah. but I completed various college degrees, a Bachelor of Science in Business and Marketing, a Master's degree in Nutrition. Goodness, I've done a lot of certifications and worked for others at times. And I built and sold my own business. It was really, truly a major component of my life, because it was centered around medical thermal imaging for breast cancer detection and for pain. And I developed software, learned how to calibrate thermal imaging camera systems. Again, this is all a God thing, because I have no engineering background, of course, in any of that, but I truly was guided to develop it. Like a thought came into my mind and I felt in my heart, like, yeah, okay, let's go look at that and make that happen. Mm-hmm. Again, it's another part of my life. You know, it's just like I have these directions and then I follow them and then amazing things happen. So, but I created a training academy for physicians to learn how to interpret the images, and I sold my systems all around the world, which was quite amazing. And gosh, after many years of success, I decided to sell my business in 2006. So,
wow. With that said, you know, can you share about the services you currently provide to assist others? Because you have a profound background. And I would share from my own personal experience of working with you, it has been life-changing. You know, I learned to build my own core self through our work, to trust my core self and feel safe within myself, something that I had never felt prior. And it allowed me to take a deep dive into my ongoing healing journey.
Well, yeah, thank you for that, Caitlin. But, I mean, yeah, I'm most interested in the human potential, and by that I mean the real self, the spiritual potential that we all are here to express. And I'm very passionate about assisting others upon their own journey and walking with them in whatever way I'm guided. So I offer regression hypnosis. I work with UFO experiencers, those who have spiritual phenomena. I work with current clinical age regression, natal regressions. I actually really like regression hypnosis. It's a very effective tool. You and I've worked together with that. So, yeah, quite amazing. Mm-hmm. I do multidimensional energetic healing. It is an HGS template from Energetic Synthesis, and it's a form of etheric surgery and is remarkable and fascinating. Ultimately, this type of session is really to support the light body architecture and the consciousness interface of one's higher soul intelligence, and to remove etheric implants and blockages within the light body or the energy body. And then, of course, my newest is MEM, called MACE Energy Method, and that works with addressing negative identities or entities. And very powerful for clearing fears and phobias, addictions, traumas, any of life's upsets. And it's really tremendous way to bring balance and peace in an efficient and really effective way, because the shift that this type of work does is very much present in the now moment. So regression, multidimensional energetic healing, and the MACE Energy Method, I feel I have, a trifecta, you know, really enjoy working with all of the tools.
They're all fantastic. They're just really get to the core, and the energetic integrity of each of these tools, they're very effective, very profound.
And very different in their expression.
Yep.
But I want to say, above even the tools, it's really the love that I bring, the space that I hold, and the true interest that I have for each soul that comes to me, their true potential.
Right. And speaking of the space you hold, there's times through your business, which it's not necessarily ideal in the 3D world, but if you feel off or something doesn't feel right, you will honor that, whatever that is, and not do the session for that person.
Absolutely.
Whereas you find other people really pushing through when they really should have no business holding space for someone.
That is really, really true, because I cannot compromise who I am. I cannot compromise what I feel in the moment. So it does make it challenging, and I hope people don't take it personal if I have to reschedule. But there are times when it just is that way, you know, and mm-hmm. I honor that with all of my heart, because I know that when we come back together, mm-hmm. it's going to be in that right moment. And it doesn't happen often, but I do always defer to that higher knowing that I have, that I hold in my heart for each soul that comes my way.
Yeah. No, thank you for clarifying, because I think sometimes that can go into being part of being misunderstood because it's so different. But like yourself, and I mean, maybe a handful of other people that I know in my life actually hold that energetic integrity, that if it actually came down to having to do a session for someone and paying the electric bill,
right,
you're going to not do either.
That's right.
Because that's what that means. And yet it shifts somehow. Like, you're still supported in yet a different way.
Yeah.
But
it's quite amazing.
I just appreciate that integrity.
Thank you, Caitlin.
It's just so rare. We've gotten so far away from that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Perhaps you can share a bit more about the earlier part of your journey, and share some experiences that acted as a catalyst for you.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. Well, yeah, the younger part of my life, just always a stranger in a bizarre world. But I was 22 years old, and I experienced an illness. And by the age of 24, I required surgery and radiation procedures. And for the next 7 years on the road to recovery, I actually had an opportunity to explore healing from a spiritual perspective. And this really helped me to better understand myself and strengthen my inner connection to God's source, along with a sense of really deep gratitude, really deep reverence for my life. And it was at this time that I was actually living in Pennsylvania, and it was about 3 months after the surgery that I had that I received a job offer and moved out to California. And I knew, here's this God thing again, you know, it was always operating. I just knew in my heart that I needed to follow what was before me in order to heal. I knew it with every fiber of my being. And so I moved myself, by myself actually, and through the job opportunity, I met people that offered me a room to rent in their home. And once I was there, oh my God, an entire new world opened up for me that supported my healing. And again, it really just called to my spirit. I knew I had to go. And I knew that for me, healing was my job. I had to find my way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really clear, you know, all the guidance and everything that was brought to me during this time. But I started to meet very open-minded people. And, you know, it was really funny, Caitlin, because the message from most of them, everyone was like, look deeper within, look deeper within. What do you mean, look deeper within? What are you talking about?
Yeah,
but look deeper within. But during that time, because a whole new world opened up to me, I became interested in the power of the mind, like through meditation. I questioned, where do thoughts and beliefs really come from? Are these my actual thoughts? Are my thoughts being, you know, impulsed by something outside myself? And how was I involved with even creating this illness? And how was I going to be involved with helping to heal it,
mm-hmm.
to create wellness? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I began to manage my thoughts, the perception of the world around me changed. And I will tell you, this was liberating and super empowering. If I change the way I think, I can change my life. I remember that moment. It's like, really? Oh, I can do that. Okay.
That perceptual shift.
It was a huge perceptual shift. I'm like, okay, I got this. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you also became interested in nutrition at this time, which we all know is essential to supporting not just our physical health, but also raising our consciousness.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, my healing really, it truly was a process of inner alchemy. I look at it as a spiritual initiation into the vastness of faith and higher potentials. I supported my body with nutrition. I learned that food was indeed medicine. And when I acknowledged my inner pain and managed my thoughts, I exercised and incorporated plant-based nutrition, my life and my health improved dramatically, right? I was, It was such a dynamic and profound time in my life. I shifted really into an entirely new world of awareness from my 20s going into my 30s. So many spiritual experiences and expanded concepts about the nature of reality were flooding in, and I gained insight and wisdom, accessing other aspects or parts of my higher spiritual identity. I began to understand why the need for isolation, self-inquiry, and truth and justice was so primary to my life. It was a very powerful time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It sounds like it.
Hard time. Hard, but powerful.
Those usually go hand in hand. Some of the most profound experiences are the hardest time of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can be. So you had an incredible experience, or should I say catalyst, while meditating at the nature preserve while living in California.
I did, Caitlin, and this stays with me to this day. It was the perceptual shift I needed to find the inner strength to continue to keep moving forward in my life, right?
Right, because at the time you're being faced with your own mortality, and at such a young age, while everyone else is going off to college, maybe getting married, having kids, you know, the very traditional, let's say, life.
Yeah, and that was very wounding too, watching all that, because I'm sidelined over here trying to figure out how to rehabilitate my physical body, my mind, my spirit. I'm doing other things, and everybody's doing their thing, and I'm like, my goodness, I missed the boat. Something happened. What's wrong with me? But it goes right back to that foundational understanding that I was really here to do something very, very different.
Yeah.
And it's growing into the acceptance of that. I think that empowers us as we look, you know, in hindsight. But yeah, oh my goodness. Okay, so that was really amazing, this experience. Oh my gosh. I would walk every morning from my house to the top of a nature preserve where I lived, and I would meditate cross-legged mudra positions with my hands sitting on the ground. And it was one morning that I was up there that I felt this amazing cascade of energy flowing around me, and I had these two beautiful beings of light appear on each side of my physical body, and they lifted that part of me up and out of my body, meaning my real self, my spirit self, right? The energy part of me, my spirit. And I turned around to look back, and I looked back at my body, and I perfectly understood that the real me, I was not ill. I'm the spirit. That's the body. Piece of cake. I got this. That was after I could change the way I think. Okay, now I got this piece coming in, and I'm like, piece of cake, I got this. And this perceptual shift was so profound. It was such a major turning point in my life. And as I said, it still remains with me today. This embodiment of knowing myself as the eternal self, the spirit, this empowered me to keep moving forward, and the illness helped me to understand that this is really a temporary gig here, living in this bodysuit. So best to get on with it, best to get on with life, no matter how challenging, because if you can move through the challenges and still hold that sense of who you are, the real self, the spirit self, there's a joy and there's a purpose and there's a flow to life that just allows you to move through challenge and obstacles, because you're in the flow. I don't know how else to say it, but you're in the flow or expression of your divine self. Right. Present moment.
Present moment. It's so powerful, beautiful, healing. And, you know, I know we've often have had conversations and have wondered about the difference of those who can walk through and move through the challenges and the pain and those who is just not for them this time.
Yeah.
Or just can't.
Well, I think, yes, it's very hard because it's the crisis of faith, because it's important to understand that with this process, it still took 7 years.
Right.
I had the thought, okay, change the way you think. Great, got that. Change the way you eat. Great, got that. Know you're the eternal self. Great, got that piece too.
Right.
But it still took 7 years, right, to move from illness to wholeness. And it was really during that period of time that I was given all these other opportunities to explore all these other avenues of healing. And it was really difficult. And yet the understanding that I was more than my body, like I said, gave me the strength and wisdom that many others didn't have. And so once again, you know, really grateful that I'm here today, because I was going to the UCLA Boyer Clinic up there in California, in Los Angeles, and I can remember going in and out every week, and because I had recurrence and certain things were happening, you know, and the doctors would call me because I would show up smiling and I was singing and lighthearted, and I healed, and they watched it. And so they were curious about what I was doing, but I tried to explain the beans coming, like, I had one doctor who found it, like, really interesting, you know, Dr. Corey, I still remember him. But yes, I feel very, very grateful for that experience, because that experience holds me today in such a sacred way.
And would you say that that is also with that experience where acceptance started to come into about the nature of reality and your really multidimensional experiences?
Oh, yeah.
Up until that point?
Oh, yeah.
And then beyond.
Well, I started to, after that happened, I could go back even when I was younger, you know, seeing UFOs and people who've crossed over, another kind of phenomenon. I was always plugged into the multidimensional realm. I always had an awareness, the soul, the spirit, the energy world, right? Yeah, so it did, for sure.
Well, and then during those 7 years, you know, what you figured out and got to experience from the perceptual shift to singing, to dancing, to the nutrition, it feels like you're describing embodiment. It's one thing to know it, to get it. It's another to embody it in the beingness.
And yes, applying it, you know, basic tools and applying and doing the work. I have been working since I came into the planet to shift this body or to help other people shift, you know. But that's right. Thank you, Caitlin.
Oh, gosh, it's been such a privilege to spend time with you over the years. And I watch you navigate through many challenges and changes in your life. And you hold joy and stillness within. Yet I know your journey, like all of ours, has been difficult, like you've even just been sharing. Can you expand even a bit more on the highs and lows of your journey?
The highs and lows is the way it goes down here on planet Earth. Oh my goodness. It's like all of us, right? Because along the way, the connection to my spirit, even after, you know, I've had that experience, right? To my real self, it was challenged. And several times, I mean, I moved through resistance after resistance. Oh my God, fear after fear. Challenge to find peace and forgiveness within my heart. I didn't even know what that was, as a matter of fact, right? I mean, what am I looking for? And but I learned to trust my inner guidance and that deep inner knowing. So surrendering, letting go, letting go, letting go of what no, of what no longer served me, and really uncovering blind spots and building discernment was and still is a really large part of my journey. But I experienced, like all of us, again, feelings of joy and wonder and gratitude and love and empowerment and awareness and fulfillment and frustration and disappointment and abandonment and betrayal and shame and guilt. You know, it's unworthiness, the anger, the fear, grief, and a lot more. And I moved through obstacles and blocks that at times I could not imagine where all of this was coming from. So that's where I really then began to perceive an energetic overlay that felt very artificial and very limiting, and I could see that operating through myself and others. And I began to ask even deeper questions about the nature of reality and ventured really deep down the rabbit hole. And in hindsight, again, it was a God thing. Just, I was being guided.
You know, my dad would tell me, it's not about asking questions. It's about asking the right questions. And so, like you say, when you start to ask those deeper questions, that's where it starts. It's that's like taking the first step. And what about in those deep questions, what came to you about the nature of reality and your direct experiences that you were having your whole life?
Yeah, well, it started to bring context to what was going on in the early part of my life. But seeing through that matrix of deception, right, I really began to understand that multi-layered hyperdimensional matrix, a control system operating on our planet. And I found that there's a select group of, and I'm sure many of you know this listening to this, but it was profound for me at the time, right? Just the group, a group of global financial elite controllers who had centralized wealth and power for their own benefit. They were ruled by occult practices and secrecy and the lies, and were void primarily of empathy and love, which was a real shocker to me. But understanding, you know, that their worldview was and still is dominated by a desire to suppress and control the masses. Again, challenging to accept at first, but, you know, Caitlin, it really became crystal clear as to why there was so much suffering and so much pain on our planet, and why no one knows who they are, the eternal self. Something's disconnecting us from the soul spirit level of our divine intelligence. And I really began to see the hidden hand operating with an agenda to destabilize personal power, freedom, and sovereignty. And then I began to really follow the money trail and just notice that the same people
kept showing up
over and over. And then I asked myself why.
Right.
I viewed the main control systems. I studied how they influenced planetary affairs and promoting anti-human value systems. I looked closer at religion. I looked at the academic, the financial, the legal world, the medical system, the media system, the entertainment system, political, governmental systems. And, you know, they all had that same underlying goal or theme, and that was to reinforce each other, to manipulate power to be given to those at the top of the chain and perform other nefarious acts. But again, I asked myself, you know, who is actually benefiting from that kind of control? How is that helping humanity?
It's a critical question to really ask, because that always shines a light, like you said, the same players, the same systems that are so anti-life and anti-Christ consciousness. It's just, and you wonder where God is in all this, and you realize, well, he was intentionally not in any of that. Like, these That's dark right. forces are truly void of love and empathy.
Yeah.
And it's so mind-bending to even conceptualize that that level of evil exists. Mm-hmm. Yet we're constantly seeing what's happening even in our own lives, of like, what, when we constantly are being pummeled and it feels like energetic whack-a-mole constantly, of like, this is not human. This is, how is this continually possible?
What's running the show down here is not human.
Right.
For sure. Right.
Oh gosh. Well, just thank you for sharing that and what you had come to understand. In regards to these hidden forces, leads us to the hidden histories that you've really started to uncover through your journey as well. And can you just elaborate even a bit more of what's really going on here on planet Earth?
Yeah, and again, going even deeper down that rabbit hole, right? I became aware of the galactic history of Earth, and it's the hidden history that's been stolen from humanity. And I learned of the history from the Galactic Wars originating from the Laran Orion timelines many, many millions of years ago. So, you know, this understanding provided context as to the many UFO sightings and all the paranormal experiences I've had throughout my life. But I really gained insight into how third dimensional or 3D planet Earth and the humanity's true star origins were denied us.
Yes, yes.
The ET involvement, the historical records, ancient artifacts, a lot of the sacred spiritual texts, along with these higher consciousness memories, were mostly erased from us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, understanding that this all was deliberately designed to prevent humanity from remembering who we really are or where we really came from. And again, just asking myself, who benefits, you know, by keeping us in a state of amnesia, of total blindness?
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I realized we were handed a false history and a false identity and a false reality from the malevolent ETs and their human hybrid counterparts in positions of power on our planet, and intertwine this with strong broadcasts of mind control program in order to condition humanity to believe in anti-human culture that's controlled by an AI version of 3D reality. I mean, goodness, all purpose to maintain an artificial reality for prison planet enslavement status here on this Earth. And again, why do so few see this false reality system? Why don't operating?
Mm-hmm.
What is that disconnect, you know? So it really became evident that there was and still is a war over consciousness taking place on Earth and denying us access, all humanity, all access to the multidimensional potentials and our true extraterrestrial history, benevolent and malevolent. And again, who benefits by not disclosing this ET involvement upon planet Earth?
Yeah, and you probably see this in your work every day.
I do.
In regards to this war over consciousness.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was here in 2007 that I became aware of energetic synthesis and Lisa Renee's work, and really began then to piece together the greater control agenda at hand and combine that with David Icke's information. They were both speaking my language. I mean, once again, I was like, okay, I'm being guided. It's a God thing. And still, I'm so very grateful, no matter how challenging it's been, you know, to deconstruct the false reality bubble that we live in and see the bigger picture. Eternally grateful.
Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for Lisa Renee and David Icke's work. They have stayed the course, and they are true through and through. And I, too, have been guided to them. And, oh, gosh, yeah.
I can remember David Icke's book.
Yeah.
There was a reptilian on the cover. I'm like, I saw that. I know that. I saw that being. And, I was like, okay, somebody else knows. There's something going on here, you know. Yeah.
Gosh, thank you. This is so profound, because we are living right now through a time of massive change upon the Earth. The hidden histories and the ET involvement intertwined with world affairs are not being addressed. It's hidden.
It sure is.
In this time of massive change, while the malevolent forces run amok.
They sure do.
Yeah, we also have the benevolent forces here.
Thank you, God.
Yes. And many are having spiritual awakenings whereby they see through the matrix of deception or overlay, and it's shocking to many. You know, during these times, we hear about ascension or spiritual awakening that is also happening. What does ascension mean to you, and how does it relate to your life?
That's a big question, but yeah. I can remember as a child of 8 years old, I was feeling the year 2012 was really important to me. And so I calculated my age to figure out how old I would be at that time and to visualize myself into the future. I sensed that it would be a long, long journey to get there and to just like do my best. Because around this age, I would also try to turn lights on with my mind, fly in my dreams, see fairies, angels, and UFOs everywhere. Right, right. But yeah. At some point, I discovered this time was linked to a 26,500-year cycle where our planet would align once again into the galactic core. And then it was through that ongoing cycle, 2012 and beyond, where we are here today, through 2024 and further future forward, right? Major changes would be accelerated upon our Earth, but humanity, we would all be given an opportunity to reawaken from persistent illusions of our reality and remember the greater truth of who we really are.
Yes, yes. No, thank you. You know, just to give some context around the word ascension, I'd love to share the ascension glossary term. Just for our audience today. Ascension, or spiritual awakening, can best be described as a change in the focus of our consciousness through frequency activation. This process can progress over many years and will ultimately shift our perceptions into higher states of self-awareness. This perceptual shift can include increased awareness of energy in the environment, sensing extra-dimensional entities, feeling the interconnected energy between all things, seeing multidimensional realities, and seeing through the matrix of deception. This leads us into discussing multidimensional expressions and potentials, as this is a part of the ascension process, as well as your work. Can you speak more to this?
Yeah, you know, because it's all challenging to describe what multidimensional means. Is it? It really requires that we no longer see ourselves just through the lens of our physical reality in the material world, because multidimensional consciousness is the ability to be aware of more than one dimension, the material dimension, physical body, the energy universe, the energy body, right? But to be multidimensional in our consciousness or mind, we have to remember that we have within us the potential to expand our perceptions to the dimensions above and below our physical plane. And over many, many years, goodness, I mean, I've studied the vast knowledge of spiritual mechanics governing planetary and human ascension. And I like to keep everything very simple. I always say that, keep things simple. But what's most supportive is really to understand is that our focus is placed upon our heart with the real desire to know the true self, the spirit, and that part of us that looks out of our eyes out into the world, right? As we develop the right relationship to self, to that part of us, we can really better develop our relationship with God's source and reawaken to our higher heart soul intelligence. We're aware of more than one aspect of self. We're not just the body.
Taking it personal, that's being experienced here. We're so right. Much more.
We're so big.
Oh gosh, if
our divine beings, the essence of who we are. It's so crazy. Yeah. We're made to be so small and insignificant and
right.
I'm not enough and I can't and I won't. No.
And then fight each other. These are not true. And conquer. Yes. 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 Oh gosh, can you imagine if humanity knew that part of self?
Yeah.
So we could unify.
Well, again, it's that driving force in me, the spirit potential connected to the human. Oh gosh, it's life changer. Mm-hmm. Like it changed my life.
Yeah. And you get to see that every day in your practice.
I do. Yeah. I do. Very grateful.
From all these incredible direct experiences in your life, the catalysts of awakening and the importance of you as an 8-year-old knowing like gnosis that you had to get to 2012. And here we are now beyond that. Will you share more about what you feel your role is at this time and in moving forward?
Yes. And again, you know, what I'm sharing is really, it's taken years, right?
Right.
come into balance with, because I don't walk around saying this, you know.
That's why I had to interview you.
Right, right.
I always felt like I had to be, I was at the right place at the right time to hear, like, your story of hard-earned grit.
Oh my God. No different than any of you or anybody else that's listening. If there's a fear, face it, move through it, you can do it. But yeah, my role is challenging, because really, while living here and having a regular kind of, well, not really regular, but still having to function here in 3D and do the things that we all do here, I was always aware of this other aspect of myself serving a greater authority and a much greater directive. And this role, again, right, was the maximization of the human potential, of human consciousness, and of the human form. And this played out via the constant alchemy and transmutation of my physical body as I move through illness to wholeness. Right? You know, if you look at your life, you'll see the life you've lived. There's purpose in what you're doing, right? Not to be the victim of the hard-earned lessons, but to step out and empower yourself above, around, and through that, and to know you're serving some greater kind of directive. Because I also realized that there was a part of me, okay, now it's the higher God self, the divine self, the eternal spirit, that there was a part of me here doing a case study with the form or the body, knowing that it's the genetic levels of the form or the body that make up the structures that are limiting consciousness availability. And the larger scope of what I'm here doing is the biological encodement process that is shifting the DNA and the genetics into these higher intelligence forms. And I'm talking about collectively too, right? Not just for myself, like think of it as a template, right? And again, it's taken many, many years to comprehend or even acknowledge this, because you go, who, me, really? I don't think so, but it is true. It is. You become aware of it as you filter away through negative ego, through pain, through clutter, through the expectations of what the 3D world say, this is what reality is, and you just let that go. You refine yourself and you connect into that higher perceptual sense of self, the spirit, the eternal self, and you come to really understand that everything you're living is purpose. And you're working on higher levels of consciousness that has been, again, wiped from us. Disconnected from us, right?
I can really feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even in what would be the hard times or the bad times or the dark times, there is no value lost in those moments.
None.
And we often can forget that. And when we walk through it or have that direct experience with it, this sounds weird, like at first, I know, but we've shared this, like it's a privilege, but to have that ability, because we will watch others, even our loved ones, not choose to take that or not have the ability to do so. But we just get to shine that light and hold that space and do the work for our fellow brothers and sisters.
That's right.
I mean, they have to do it themselves, but like if we can hold that, let's say, template.
Yeah.
Working for the greater whole, that truly being in service to others.
That's it. And, you know, as we walk through those patterns of pain and we're working and doing this, you know, it's being aware of this multidimensional world of forces, this overlay, this construct that has limited us from connecting into our point of personal power, which is the soul, spirit, and heart intelligence. That's what we need to connect to. We're, you know, internal, within, right? Linking that expression of our divine being. Oh my gosh, life changes.
Well, and it sounds to me like what you just shared is divine embodiment in physical form while in 3D reality. This is ascension. We are so often distracted in our lives purposely, always looking outside ourselves. We don't even realize who we are.
Not the truth.
Yeah, the eternal being or spirit being, like your direct experience at the top of the nature preserve showed you.
Life-changing, Caitlin.
Yeah. You've always said to me, boots on the ground, the middle path, kindness always, building discernment, is the way to stay safe as you discover higher spiritual principles and navigate the world of forces that are operating. What does boots on the ground mean to you?
Yeah, boots on the ground, actually, my friend, that was her phrase, and it stuck with me all these years. But yeah, throughout my journey, I had a variety of experiences that were so far out of the accepted paradigm of reality that I needed time for contemplation, stillness, and integration. I mean, really, my personal reality had been shifted so many times that I needed to dig so deep inside within the layers of my being to recreate inner balance and harmony. And it's one thing to have multidimensional experience, but it's a whole other deal to move through it, like you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Through their inner alchemy because of them, because many of my experiences demand it. Again, the isolation, the self-reflection, and letting go, just more letting go of social conditioning and programmed responses, past wounds and traumas related to outdated matrix belief systems that define my personality and reality, and navigating my life while, you know, moving through these spiritual initiations, like I like to call them, really required a very delicate balance and boots on the ground, walking through it, feeling it, sensing it, living it, clearing it through the body, and then coming out the other side more whole and grounded. Thank you, God. But this process really developed a core strength and a very powerful connection, again, to that divine part of my being, to that deep inner guidance system and my discernment. And this is the great work, right? This is the work. This is the great work. Mm-hmm. And it's really about being the observer, staying present during transformation and change, and recognizing it, that you haven't taken a wrong turn, okay, but really staying present during that transformation process that can be very, very, very painful. And so I can remember moments, Caitlin, and I've shared this with you, where the pain was so intense for me and the physical matter mastery that was required of me. I would yell out loud, please God, take me home. I just didn't care to be here anymore. And yet facing the pain and all that went with this process, I am so grateful because I was able to clear that density and now able to hold and embody a lot more of source light, more joy, more love, more of my authentic self. And I am grateful.
Yeah. You know, you do hold that joy, that love, you know, that inner stillness and peace. And you know, people who come into your presence can feel that and see that. And you also have that core strength. So sometimes it's, you know, I've wondered, like, did you ever have doubts along the way? I mean, you just kind of shared right here about yelling out loud when the pain was so great. But if you had doubts along your journey, what were those?
Yes, I have had many doubts and burdens, and all, like I always have said to you, it always comes really right back to that crisis of faith. Never giving up and moving forward no matter what is occurring. When I had that perceptual shift back up there on that nature preserve all those years ago, I mean, I understood this ability to perceptually shift. I was given that gift, so I did it with my health, right? Mm-hmm. I went down the rabbit hole, the deep dive into the galactic history, the ET connections, the paranormal experiences, and then another major shift in 2006, and this was tough. It was probably the biggest shift, the most difficult and challenging that I have gone through to date. And this is where my life as I knew it completely and totally 100% dismantled, gone. And this was where my 3D life, it really was over in terms of how I interfaced with the world. This was the galactic cosmic wake up call. Wake up. And there was only one way to go. And as my old identity, my old timeline, my lifestyle was completely dismantled, I was launched into the new, and oh my gosh, Caitlin, it was just really, there was so much happening at one time. Mm-hmm. I know you can relate because we've talked about it on your interview. But I sold my business. I ended a relationship with my significant other. My mother passed away. My nephew passed away. I sold my forever home. I heard a voice. I want to say I felt a voice in my heart. North Carolina, you're going. Okay, I eventually moved to North Carolina. But so doubt, yeah, you bet it. You bet. I mean, it was coming from all angles, the dismantling. And you know, I would say you did really well on your journey, because I was kicking and screaming.
Oh, I had moments.
And crying, grieving, all alone, letting go, and all within a few years. I mean, it was painful.
Mm-hmm.
It was painful. But, you know, the interesting thing is, again, I've always been guided, so you think you're being served up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've taken
mm-hmm.
a wrong turn, okay? Yeah. And you don't know how it's going to work out. Crisis of faith, blindly walking through it with trust in God. But the interesting thing is that with the sale of my Florida home, I was still not sure where I would be living. So the couple who purchased my home, they liked me, they loved my home, and they offered me an opportunity to stay there 6 months rent-free, even after we closed, right? So I had the cash I needed to go to the next place, but I was able to stay there 6 months. I mean, again, it's a God thing. And I was shown that through that act of kindness, again, through this is how life really is when you let go, let God. I was shown, again, that this was the way forward and to let go and further trust.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Crying, yeah. But moving forward. With some laughter, too, though.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Oh, Terry, you have only shared a small portion of what you've been through in your life. Would you mind if I share something about yourself?
Sure.
Yeah. So this is a story you shared with me about radical self-forgiveness that I really took to heart the very first time I ever heard it. And I call upon that often, actually, as I navigate this journey. And greater healing comes up around what my own dismantling in my life, and I have my moments of my life reviews.
Yeah.
But just to give an example of your evolving self-mastery and energetic integrity and who I know you to truly be, right after your 7 years of healing, you moved from California to Florida in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So you were at a dentist's office, and a dentist placed an incompatible bonding agent in a few teeth, and your immune system was attacked and your health was challenged again, facing your own mortality again. You went into isolation and deep healing. Now you had the choice to hold the dentist responsible in a traditional way of suing him, but you did not. Instead, you chose to have him come with you mm-hmm. to a biological dentist, and he was going to hold your hand during the recorrected procedures that cost you a significant amount of money, is still costing you to this day.
Yes.
So he would learn to never do this to another human being again. And
yes,
that dentist, if I understand correctly, never practiced dentistry again.
That's correct. That's correct. Well, yeah, this was a powerful choice point for me, Caitlin, because I had to choose radical forgiveness, not only of myself for like getting directed there, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But for what he did, and because that part of me, the real me, the spirit, I knew with absolutely every fiber of my being that for me to move forward in my life, I needed to let it go, and not get trapped into being the victim, not get trapped in the legal system. I knew, deeply knew, that the way forward for me was not to look back and only to move forward.
It was the only option.
Was the only option.
Yeah. Yeah, you shared this with me and how this act of radical forgiveness has blessed you in ways that are not measured with money, as you had to make it to 2012 and beyond.
And beyond. Thank you, God, I'm here. Dun, dun, dun. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes, Caitlin.
Yeah.
This was just yet another catalyst in my life where the inner strength that I gained and the wisdom acquired along the way, you know, allowed me to love even more, to forgive myself and others even more, to let go of resentments and judgments and even more, and to create boundaries and build greater discernment. But this act of forgiveness completely placed me on another trajectory and another timeline where my own consciousness again expanded and I could begin to again embody even more, you know, source light, more love. And I also had a profound sense that this was preparing me for something else in terms of how I would work and with people in the future and how I would evolve as a divine human being. Yeah.
It's so incredible to be sitting here with you today to hear this story, but to be, gosh, all these experiences.
It isn't just a few, but
I know, it's great. Well, speaking of these experiences, I know UFOs and other types of multidimensional phenomena have been a large part of your life from a child up until today. Would you mind sharing your experience with not, you know, malevolent and the benevolent?
Yeah, you know, I can share that from an early age up to today. I've had significant guidance, as we all do. And, you know, when I listen, it was a blessing and a course correction to stay out of harm's way. Not my will, but thy will, God. However, it was the malevolent ETs and how I'd been tracked and blocked and obfuscated since a young child. And when I began to realize that my life had been interfered with, you know, from the get-go.
Not just in your 20s or 30s.
Yeah. Like, where is this illness coming from? Where is this betrayal from others coming from? And my mom would say to me, you work so hard. Why do all these bad things happen to you? What is going on? I mean, I never felt safe because I was being stalked by an invisible force. I could not see it, but I could feel it. And I could feel it operating in other people. But I didn't have a context all those years ago, right? So sleep paralysis, you know, would happen. Dark forces weighing down upon me where I couldn't scream or move. And I could feel their presence in my bedroom. And many of us are called the sleeping abductees because that is what's occurred, and to me and to many others. But then again, you know, we can talk about that in a whole other discussion in a podcast.
Yeah.
But and again, my work allows me to understand a lot more how the malevolent has played a part in
what we've all carried.
What we've all carried.
Burdens,
yes.
And pain. And very, traumas.
Very oh much gosh. So.
Yep.
Yeah, very yep. much so. And then a benevolent experience. Okay, 2016. This was phenomenal. I was with a friend, Chris, and I was at a lake close to my house. And I don't even have words. It's on my website, vibrationsofthesoul.com, under my blog if you want to read the full version of it. But I was basically at the lake with them standing there, and these orbs appeared like the size of the sun. They were orange and they swished together and merged and became a huge craft. The craft then changed to an egg-shaped vehicle with crystalline light and colors that were so profound. Plasma light falling from the sky, flowing over our heads, and the plasma light had pure consciousness within it. There was knowledge and wisdom that was given, you know, to me as that process was was happening. And, you know, I'm like, dear God, thank you, God, thank you, God. The crickets are singing. It was just like a symphony of sound and then silence. And I was in zero point energy with this phenomenon. And I live a few minutes, you know, from the lake. And so we came home, dropped my friend off at the house he was staying at. But before we got out of the car, we're sitting there. We're talking about what just happened at the lake. And there's the craft just hovering, comes right out of a portal and is hovering right above us. And I'm like, how can, no one else is seeing this, you know? But it was phenomenal. And it changed my life. Because I could see the physics, the attributes of physics, the level of intelligence that was operating this. Mm. It was light. It was pure love and 0 point, right? No fear. It was the amazement and the wonderment of benevolence. And still to this day, I always say this to you, Caitlin. Every time I got to go to the gas station to put gas in my car, yes. I don't like that because it's...
have a direct experience of that and then you see the way we live and what we're still doing God. To this day. Really?
Oh my God. It's so ridiculous that, you know, but patience and again, you know, I don't know why I had the opportunity to see that. I can only say it's a God thing. It's been that way my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I am very grateful. Very grateful. But that one changed my life because they were right there up close.
Yeah.
And watching the attributes of physics, the shift, and the level of consciousness exchange with this force is remarkable. Yeah.
Gosh. Thank you. It's a great way to start to wrap this up. Oh, you know, with spending time with you and our work together, I've learned so much about the negative ego clearing, kindness, love, what service really means, service to others, forgiveness. You truly live this way. It's who you are and who you have become. I witness your ongoing commitment towards your own personal inner work. Always looking for blind spots and taking responsibility for your actions. And I appreciate this very much. I have always said, do not tell me to do anything that you are not willing to do yourself or haven't done. And I hold myself to this way as well. And so thank you for that. And as we come to a close today, Terry, do you have any final words of wisdom?
Well, thank you, Caitlin. Goodness, so much kindness, but I would say, you know, I would share that the deeper dive to heal the negative ego, the pain body or the shadow body, it's the key, because I too am a work in progress, and this really means looking at your unhealed wounds, your old storylines, outdated belief systems that trap you into that lower frequency of awareness, that overlay that we talked about, and build a relationship with God and make this relationship a priority in your life. Take responsibility for your own BS. Clean up your projections and judgments towards others and self, and research. Connect the dots. Do the deeper dive. Be aware of the world of forces operating and the benevolent and the malevolent, and choose wisely and always with discernment who and what you're participating with. Become a part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Love the earth, love yourself, love others, keep an open heart, laugh, cry, and pray daily. Keep boundaries and choose to incorporate into your life the practice of patience and kindness. Generosity, humility, discipline, purity, and diligence. Yeah, it's an amazing time of great change on the planet. We're here. It's a cycle of evolution of consciousness of the heart.
Yes. Beautiful words of wisdom to really take to heart and for us to live by if we so choose.
If you so choose, that's right. Yeah.
Thank you, Terry. It's been great to spend time with you today. This has been one for the books.
Oh, Caitlin, thank you. I appreciate so much the opportunity to sit here with you today and share. And, you know, I think we'll wrap it up at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So that's it for today. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And Bye for now.
Bye for now, and many blessings.